Well, our movie this week for Faith on Film is Aloha. And as I said before, it's kind of a romance story, not your typical summer blockbuster. But we ran out of summer blockbusters that were not rated R. So we're going with Aloha. This premise of the movie is that Brian Gilchrist is a man with a past. He's an independent military contractor who has done some very bad things in his life. It's been said that he sold his soul to the highest bidder. So he goes to Hawaii and gets a chance to redeem himself. He sees his ex-girlfriend, who's now married. He also meets an Air Force officer who's his new liaison. They fall into a complicated romance, complicated further by the lies that he's telling the Hawaiian people. His deceit is revealed and he's faced with a choice. Will he do the right thing? Or will he go with his default, which is whatever's easiest and best for himself? So he's going to face some choices, and we'll have to see how he faces those choices and deals with his past. Each of us, every single day, make hundreds and hundreds of choices, if we really think about it. What's a choice that you made today, for example? Coming to church. What to wear. What to eat. You made a choice to wake up, get up. Yeah, every day we make choices, and some of them are good choices, some of them have bad consequences, and some of them are neutral. Most of the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis probably have very little eternal significance. For example, the shirt that I wore this morning is probably not going to usher someone to heaven's doors. Okay, that's not an eternal significant decision. However, we're still responsible for our decisions, and we're supposed to make the best choices that we can based on the guidelines that God has given us. And God has given us several guidelines for choices that are general in nature, and they're given for everyone to abide by when making choices. For example, the Ten Commandments. If your decision that you're trying to decide about whether to make or not breaks one of the Ten Commandments, your answer is automatically no. Then, right, you should not do that. You should not break the Ten Commandments. But there's also other decisions that don't have such a clear-cut answer. If you're facing a decision and it may be a gray area for you, and you start asking questions like, does God really say this is wrong? Or how far is too far? Or what if we called it this instead of calling it that? Generally, when we're asking those types of questions, we already know the answer to those questions. We're just trying to justify ourselves in making the decision that we really want to, even though we probably know that it goes against God's standards. Now, that's not the case in every case, but generally, when we're asking those types of questions, we know what the answer probably will be. So you've got the automatic answers that are no. You've got the ones that are, those are the ones that are clearly against scriptural teachings. You've also got the gray area decisions, which generally answer themselves. But you also have decisions that could be good. You could have two good choices. Sometimes there is no bad option. Sometimes there is no sinful option. You just come to a fork in the road and you have to choose option A or option B. Often those are the most difficult decisions to answer, to decide, because there's no easy answer. Do you take a job with company A or company B? Do you buy a house? Do you rent a house? Do you buy the red car or buy the blue car? Often these decisions are both viable and good options. You just have to choose. Sometimes, though, all of the options are bad, and you have to choose the lesser of two evils. We hear a lot about that in politics, don't we, when it comes time for election time? So what do you do to help make decisions, both little decisions and big decisions? Turn to someone near you and answer that question. What do you do to help yourself make decisions, both big decisions and little decisions? What are some of your ways that you just make decisions?
Pray.
Pray? All right. Research. Make a pros and cons list. Flip a coin. Ask your wife. For Lori and I, when we come to these decisions that there's not a definitely a good decision or bad decision, like if we're trying to decide what we're going to do on a given night, we often will give do a ranking, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you really want to do this? And how badly do you really not want to do this, and see if there's a great, great big discrepancy there, because that'll sometimes help. You know, how badly do you want to go to the movie? Then you can rate it and discuss it. Or you can flip a coin. That was one thing that I know someone who does that, and he likes to do it because once he gets the answer, then it really crystallizes in his mind which one he really wanted. Because if he gets the answer and he feels disappointed, then he knows he really wanted the other thing, and so he switches. Of course, after you've made the decision, then you have the consequences of that decision. And again, those consequences can be good decisions, or good consequences, bad consequences, or neutral. But regardless of the decision that you make, there will be consequences, there will be repercussions. How you face the consequences of those decisions, or the results of those decisions, is almost important, if not more important, than the decision that you made in the first place. People are going to be watching you to see how you respond. What is your life going to look like as a follower of Christ after making these decisions? If you've made a bad decision, are you going to own up to your mistakes? Are you going to make excuses? Are you going to try to dodge the negative consequences of your actions? Or are you going to stand with integrity? In the movie, Brian makes some bad decisions, and he has to live with those consequences. It sounds like, from the things that I've read, that he tries to atone for those decisions, but he still has to live with that deceit from his past. And while we can atone for things, and while we can ask forgiveness, we still have to live with those consequences. What consequences are you living with right now? What decisions have you made in life that you wish you could maybe get a redo on? Obviously, we can't go back in time and undo things, but we can choose to start making right choices now. One of the steps that we need to take in order to redeem those bad choices is to ask for and grant forgiveness. Forgiveness is a tough concept for us to follow through with, though. We have a tendency to hold on to things tightly and don't want to let go of those perceived wrongs in our lives. We don't necessarily feel like certain people should be let off the hook. Yet God commands us to forgive those who have wronged us, to forgive those who trespass against us, and forgive those people that have hurt us. When Peter asks, how much should you forgive? How many times should you forgive? Jesus says, 70 times, 7 times you should forgive, meaning that we should forgive always and in all circumstances. We also have to understand that God also forgives us when we do wrong. When we do wrong things, we seek forgiveness from the people that we have wronged, but we also seek forgiveness from God. God is always gracious, always loving, and He always forgives us when we repent and confess our sins. Those in our lives may not forgive us right away, they may not ever forgive us, but we are still commanded to seek them out and to offer our sincere apology and to seek out that forgiveness. It's, of course, never easy to admit when we're wrong, but we have to do it because that's what Jesus has done for us. He has forgiven us of the gravest of sins so that we might live forever with Him. Not only are we commanded to forgive others, not only does God forgive us, but we also have to learn how to forgive ourselves. And sometimes we can be our own worst critics. I know that is the case for me. I relive things over and over, and gosh, that was bad. How could I have done that to that person? And sometimes we try to punish ourselves or give us some sort of penance that we have to do to make ourselves feel better, that we're making up for it. Sometimes we try to pay for our transgressions, but it doesn't work. Our punishment has been paid for. Jesus has paid the ultimate price. Our debt has been paid. We have to learn to love ourselves again and accept God's grace, God's love, and God's ultimate and complete forgiveness. We can't try to hold ourselves in bondage to the sin. We have to accept God's gift and look forward to the future, not staying stuck in the past. And that's a principle for all matters of forgiveness. We have to be looking forward. We can't look back. We can't always be trudging up the past when we're in arguments, for example, with our spouse or with anyone you argue with. You can't always bring up the past. 17 years ago, you remember when you did this to me? That's not fighting fair. We have to make changes in our lives so that we don't do wrong to others, but we also can take steps to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in a position where others can do wrong to us. We know that things are going to happen. We know that these bad things are going to happen to us and people are going to wrong us and that we're going to wrong others. And we have to prepare for that situation. We have to be ready to forgive in those situations. God's love and forgiveness is not something that we can take for granted. It requires us to share it and duplicate it to the best we can in our own lives and relationships. One such example was with Bruce Goodrich. He was being initiated into the Cadet Corps at Texas A&M University. One night, Bruce was forced to run until he dropped, but he never got up. Bruce Goodrich died before he even entered college. A short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote this letter to the administration, faculty, student body, and the Corps of Cadets. "I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over the loss of our son Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him in the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus." Mr. Goodrich went on, "I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in the matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, why did this happen? Perhaps one answer will be, so that many will consider where they spend eternity." Would that be your response if that happened to your son, if that happened to your daughter? He understood forgiveness. He understood the grace that has been given to him through our Savior, Jesus Christ. An old proverb says, "He that sins is human. He that grieves over sin is a saint. He that boasts of sin is of the devil. And he that forgives sin is of God." Who in your life today do you need to forgive? Who in your life do you need to show grace toward? Maybe it's yourself, maybe it's your spouse, maybe a coworker. Don't let another day go by holding on to these wrongs. Live life free from the burden of guilt and hurt and pain, and pray for God to grant you forgiveness to those who need it. Pray that God will also forgive you. Oftentimes, when we're upset with someone, the best thing we could do is to start praying for that person, because that gets you to think about them in terms of the way that God sees them as opposed to the way that you see them. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We need to live into that verse and confess our sins and trust that God will forgive us and cleanse us. He is faithful, He is just, He is love. And we need to trust in Him that He will provide true and everlasting peace and forgiveness. And that's what we need to show to one another. Peace, forgiveness, and love. Will you pray with me? God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You that You died on the cross in our place so that we might live. God, You have forgiven us everything that we have done. You have wiped our slates clean. Yet we still sometimes hold grudges to people. We still sometimes won't forgive. And God, I pray that You would work on our hearts by the power of Your Spirit. Help us to truly understand what You have done for us and how we cannot go another day without offering that forgiveness to those who have wronged us. We pray that You will bless each person here today, God. Help us to live a life worthy of the calling of the gospel of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.